I would like to read a word before we pray from Psalms 130. Here this psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. I think that just a certain call is not enough, but there must be something that causes the call, that comes from the heart, that comes from the depths of the heart, that reaches the throne of God. If it is only perhaps a superficial call, then it is very quickly subdued and it is gone. But this psalmist, he says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. I don't think it's any use if we just say a few words, if we just say them like that. This man of God probably experienced it. That's why he expressed it. And I think the words are very important. They are left to us so that we too know what to do. But who cries out to God from the depths of the heart today? We don't know. Perhaps not even where there is great trouble or a war, whether people are still coming to their senses, whether they cry to God, or whether they are perhaps cursing that something like this is coming. But we, as children of God, should come to our senses and seriously start crying out to the living God. And my prayer is that God may work this in us, this heartfelt cry, so that we can cry out like this. Because if He doesn't help us, we can't even pray. We can't even open our mouths. But we want to come closer to Him. We have sung, closer to you, my God. We want to come so close to Him and want to call out to Him in our trouble, in our misery. Perhaps someone may say, there is no trouble yet. The trouble is great enough. It is great enough. And we must recognize that. Brothers and sisters, for we do not know what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow the whole world could be on fire. It can happen very quickly. But we want to be ready. We want to bring Him everything that is yet to be brought. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Indeed, no one can stand his ground before God, if God wants to retain sins. You know, but God is a faithful God. He loves to forgive. People may not want to forgive. People may not want to forget. And maybe they don't even think that God will not forgive them either, and that God will not forget their sins either. And perhaps people feel so sinless that they think that others are just the sinner and that they are very good and that God will be happy with them. Now we know that the Lord looks down. He sees and knows every heart. He knows my life. He knows your life. And also the lives of those who perhaps think themselves very pious. He knows everyone. But here it says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? No, He has come. He has taken away our sins. He has brought them to the cross. He has made us free. No one can stand his ground before him. No one. But he has made us free. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And we believe that with all our heart. And I think that we have also come together here in this evening hour, brothers and sisters, to call on the name of the Lord from the depths of our hearts, to worship him, that we do not look at one another anymore when we come here, but to come before God, before the Lord, and say, here we are, gathered before your holy face, so from the depths of our hearts that we can cry out, and that we ask God to put this cry into our hearts. I say, I can't do it like that either, if God doesn't give it. But if he gives it, and perhaps it was given to this psalmist that he expressed it in this way, he could cry out to God. He knew that forgiveness is with him. He knew that it is not with anyone else, but with him is forgiveness. He may not have been able to find any with people, and you and I will not find any either. But with him is forgiveness. With him is salvation. And for this we are so glad and so grateful that we can look up to our God. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Yes. Is it not so in our lives? Maybe we want an answer. Maybe we want to hear this and that. Maybe we wait for his word more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, this man waited for it with longing, and he was certainly not disappointed. But God certainly heard his longing and his plea, and he also hears your plea and my plea. Maybe sometimes it looks as if God doesn't hear. And I read in Brother Branham's sermon today about standing in the gap. And you know, such a great man of God, I had to think to myself when I read that he was waiting for the Lord to speak. He waited for it, and God didn't speak, and he wanted to go into the wilderness. He wanted to become a mountain guide, and wanted to become a bum, and this and that. He couldn't stand it any longer. And then, suddenly, it had come. Suddenly, it had happened. And the Lord spoke to him, and brought all things before him. It became so great to me, that such a great man of God had to wait like that. What shall we say? But let us not murmur, let us not faint, let us not complain, but let us wait on the Lord. My soul waiteth for the Lord. That's how we sang it. Commit all things to him, for he loves to help. Yes, brothers and sisters, sometimes we may not see it straight away. Maybe sometimes we want it, and it's not right there for us. But God wants to see our faith. He wants to test us, to see whether we believe him, even when he doesn't speak to us, whether we still hold on to him. That is the Lord. But we want to look up to him. And we are indeed waiting more eagerly than the watchman for the morning. More than they that watch for the morning, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. But He has not only redeemed Israel, He also redeemed us. We are His people. We are His property, the flock of His hand. And for this we are so glad and grateful that we may belong to Him. Surely there may come days that we absolutely do not like, where we are downcast and perhaps wish, as also Elijah wished, to be taken from this earth. But it doesn't work, and it didn't go the way Elijah wanted, but it went the way God wanted. That is it. And brothers and sisters, even today, it doesn't work the way you want it, and it doesn't work the way I want it, but it works the way the Lord wants it. And with this, we are satisfied and want to thank and praise Him and bring Him glory and honor. And we want to wait for Him. And I want to say, let us indeed cry out to Him from the depths of our hearts, not just here tonight, but wherever we may go, whether at home or wherever we may be, we want to wait for Him. For the time is very serious, and His coming is very near, and He will only take with Him those who were ready. That's what the Scripture says. Now may the faithful God continue to be with us. Let us now worship Him together, and then the brothers will speak to us. Heavenly Father, I thank You from the depths of my heart. Faithful God, I want to cry out from the depths, as this psalmist expresses it here. O Lord, I want to cry out. May You work the crying out in my heart and in all our hearts, Lord. Faithful God, we have arrived at this hour when we see that everything is going haywire. No one can stop anything. The time has come, Lord, and Your coming is near. Lord, we want to be ready. We want to be ready to meet You, O Lord. Lord, we call together tonight. Lord, we raise our voices together and ask You, be merciful to us. Be nigh to us. Forgive us, Lord, our failures. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings, Lord. We come to You, Lord, for we know with You is grace and with You is forgiveness. Hallelujah. Therefore, we praise You and worship You. Lord, continue to speak to us tonight through Your precious and holy word. Lord, we thank You that we were allowed to come together in this hour. We do not know how many more times, nor do we know what tomorrow may bring. But Lord, we look up to You, to You the living One, to You the true One, to You the faithful God, Lord. Thanks be to Your marvelous and glorious name that You have given us this time of grace, that You have given us Your word, that You have given us revelation, that You have opened our eyes to Your word in these last days, that You have spoken to us in such a wonderful way. Lord, we cannot but exalt Your name, praise and glorify You, for You are ours and we are Your people, the flock of Your hand. Now, Lord, receive our thanksgiving and honor and praise from all our hearts and from all our mouths. Hallelujah to Your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege that we can be here. And the thought came to me, how many are well, rejoicing beyond all measure in some churches and movements. All are in a good mood, and a small number seem to be deeply saddened and waiting for what God will do. I am reminded of the words of the Lord, who said to his own at a time, "Sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, you will be glad." And it will certainly be the same now. All those who are already rejoicing now and are happy and doing many things will perhaps one day be like we are today. And by God's grace, we will not deceive ourselves or anyone else. We will not deceive ourselves or others. If this is the hour of trial and the hour of trouble that has come upon us, then we will not shout and rejoice. But as we heard in the opening word, "I cry out to you, O Lord, from the depth of my heart, hear my cry." I couldn't help but think of the movements of this time. All are clapping their hands. All are cheering and singing and do not care at all about what God has spoken. They walk past it and think they are in it. But where in it? That is the big question. I noticed in Psalm 129, two lines, verse 5 and the last two, "Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion." And then the last two lines, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." They are simply words spoken by the Spirit of God. And then, from the depths, I cry to you. We are not crying out to just anyone, but to the Lord, who created heaven and earth, to the Almighty God, who can change times, who can change circumstances, and who can reveal himself. And also this verse here, "I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait." What else should we do? To whom should we turn? Where should we seek advice? Where should we seek comfort? But only from the Lord, who redeemed us by grace. I also had to think of the word of Zechariah when he spoke these marvelous words through the Spirit about the redemption that God has provided for his people and the forgiveness of sins that he has given. All these men of God spoke by the Spirit of God in conformity. And I dare say, as Brother Schmidt has already mentioned, we keep emphasizing that time is coming to an end and that things are happening. But if our Lord were standing here today, he would mention the one and the other and say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes." It could be listed one after the other, and each time it could be said anew, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes." It is fulfillment of scripture in every way, in us, on us, around us. And there is nothing we can do about it. We ourselves have been placed in God's plan of salvation. We cannot make a decision. God has already made it for us, for you and for me. And then this word about bearing fruit. Yes, the Lord Himself has already said it. By their fruits ye shall know them. And I read a sermon of Brother Branham yesterday, where he says that you can tie a sheepskin on a goat, but the goat's hair remains under the sheepskin. But a sheep brings forth wool because it is a sheep. You could do what you like. The nature of the thing produces the fruit. And he says so beautifully there that a sheep doesn't need to produce the wool first, not to manufacture it, but because it is a sheep, that's why it has wool. And I mean that we are sheep of His pasture, and that we must and will have the nature of the Lamb. And without it, there is no catching away in the rapture. And we have talked about this, and I also had to think about the circular letter and the word that Brother Branham was to address to the church. You all know, I read or translate a lot, but I haven't read the book, The Seven Church Ages, for a long time. And all of a sudden, it came into my heart, and I opened it, and saw these lines, or these passages, in this book. And it says here so wonderfully, one night, when I was before the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit said, take your pen and write. And as I picked it up, the Spirit of God gave me a message to share with the church. It has a lot to say to me. And I think that all who belong to the Church of the Lord, they will hear a message that is addressed to the church by the commission of the Lord. And we have read and emphasized often enough, as it says 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I believe that we can count ourselves among them by grace, unworthy of all that God has done, and that will always remain so. There has never been a person who has entered the presence of God as worthy. The greatest prophets have said, I am no better than my fathers. Great men of God have recognized their own failure and have come into the presence of the Lord to experience God anew. Here it says, I bring it to you. It is about the word to the bride. First, the term church, and then it's about the word to the bride. The bride is within the church. Have we all understood that? The church is the whole, and the bride are the overcomers. And the overcomers hear what the Spirit says to the church. And because they receive and hear, they can overcome. And we have already heard it here from this word. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. That is the secret. And that brings us to Revelation 12. They have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Here is a word to the bride. And then it speaks how everything brings forth after its own kind. The wheat that was wheat 6,000 years ago is wheat today. Everything brings forth after its own kind. God had spoken and put His law into the natural, and His law and His ordinances still apply today. He said there would be sowing and harvest, summer and winter, frost and heat, and everything has remained to this day. And the Lord said, if these ordinances cease to exist before me, then you shall no longer be my seed. God stood by what He had said and thus confirmed it. Here we are told that the seed with which the church began will come forth, and it will be the same seed, not a different seed, but the seed with which the church began. The same seed will come forth and will bring about the same as in the beginning. It says here, because it is the original seed. That is God's word. God's word is the seed, and we have received God's word. It goes on here, in these last days, the true bride church, the seed of Christ, will come to the capstone, and it will be the super church, a super race, as she gets near Him. Here we adopted the English word super church. With this he wanted to say an outstanding, a great, something extraordinary, not just a church, but a church of the living God, as she was in the beginning. And we believe that with all our heart. The church at the beginning was not just a church, it was the church of God. It was the dwelling place of God. It was God's place of revelation. It was everything that God had planned, and He was able to fulfill and do it through her. The same seed that was at the beginning comes forth at the end, so that at the end, as at the beginning, an extraordinary church is brought forth by drawing near to Him. I read on, those who are in the bride will be like Him. They will be in His very image. Of course, that is also a very powerful word. Those who are in the bride will be like Him. They will be in His very image. How often have we heard that He wants to see His image in us, to recognize His nature in us? They will be like Him in His very image. It has to be like this in order to be united with Him. they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the Living God. The fact is that God has spoken certain things, and the coming forth of these things was the thing itself that was spoken. Perhaps, to put it clearly, when God spoke that the earth would bring forth all kinds of trees, that was initially a word. But when the trees came forth, the word was already a reality. The object which was spoken as a word appeared. And now a word is addressed to the bride, and the bride must come forth. There is no other way. This is a word of God with seed in it that brings forth after its own kind. And we can simply believe that Almighty God, who has taken so much care for the natural creation, so that even atheists and unbelievers can eat and drink, He lets everything grow and flourish. Even for those who never thank Him, how much more should He do in the spiritual what He has promised? The earthly has a beginning, will have an end, will soon pass away, but the spiritual remains for eternity. Here it goes on to say, the second son, Jesus, the spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam, but before he could marry her, she had fallen also. Like Adam's wife, she was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and thereby live, or whether she would doubt it and die. She doubted. She left the word and died. We know that the Lord Himself said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. And it is the Spirit who creates life. But where and how does He create life? Namely, where His Word goes forth. Spirit and Word always belong together. Without the Word being spoken, without the Spirit being able to make it alive and new in the heart, nothing at all is possible. As we see, it is written in the Old Testament, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters or over the deep, and nothing happened yet. But when the Lord spoke, it happened. The Spirit of God is there, and it hovers over us even today. And when the Word of God goes forth, it happens. And we believe with all our heart, as it says here, from a little group of the true seed of the Word, God will present Christ a beloved bride, a virgin of His Word. She is a virgin, for she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. Through the members of the bride, all that God has promised will be fulfilled. This is our task, yours and mine. It is a word to the church, a word to the bride. And I wished that all those who want to stand their ground before God will realize that the Lord has spoken and that it is now important to hear what He has to say to the church now. It will not help anyone if they have run for 20, 30 or 40 years. But those who persevere to the end, they will be crowned. Here, in the word to the church, it is said that everything that God has promised will be fulfilled through the members of the bride. Now you will say, huh, what can we contribute to this? Here the comparison is made with Mary. What could she do? She had no wish at all. We don't read that she prayed, Lord, let it be me. We only hear that the message was brought to her, you blessed of the Lord. And she heard what was said to her. And she says, I know of no man. And then the answer, Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that which is born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. What was it? Not her desire, not her merit, God's choice. And the word of promise came to her, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the divine was born. And it is the same with the bride. The word of promise comes, and the Holy Spirit brings it to life, because we believe it, and something divine comes forth. There's no other way. Mary did not contribute anything to this. She only made herself available. You and I will not help God either. God is able to help us. And all those who want to help God stand in His way. Have you understood that well? All those who want to help God stand in God's way. God wants to and will help us. And He has sent a word to the bride. Here too, we could ask ourselves the question, why are things being brought now? Why not sometime in 67 or 78? Why are we coming to all these things now? Why is God placing a very special emphasis on things like this now, right now? We believe that the time has come. And no matter how bowed down and saddened we may be because of many things, I am most saddened about myself. But I know in my heart that God's word is the truth and that He has given us the promise. And when it is said here that a small group of the true seed of the word remains, it will be the beloved bride. And then, through the members of the bride, all that God has promised will be fulfilled. Beloved, we now come to the point that we briefly touched on Wednesday evening. There is debate all over the world about the church order and how it should be handled. And when you get to the bottom of it, they are all pointless debates. And people whom God can bless and endow with gifts are no longer to be found. It's just discussions and again discussions. And what should actually be there is not there at all. And if the psalm reads, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord," then that is our cry tonight. When it is said here that all that God has promised will be fulfilled through the members of the bride, then it is written in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." Is that what it says? Of course it says that. And that is why we need this baptism with the Holy Spirit in order to be put into the body of the Lord in the first place, so that He can use us as members. What use is it to us if a word is addressed here to the bride, and if it is said that through the members of the bride all this will be fulfilled, if we possibly stand beside it and have not become a part of the thing through which God wants to fulfill the last things, what then? Then we have heard all the teaching and it has been of no use to us. And that must not happen. God wants to pour out His Spirit, and it should become a desperation to us. And just as it says with Mary, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her when she heard the word, so it must also be with us. Here, it says directly afterwards, "It is manifested in the Virgin." We all know the parable of the virgins. It goes on to say, "The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary, but He Himself was the word of promise to be manifested." The word came and He Himself was the word and was manifested. It goes on to say that God was manifested. He Himself acted at that time to bring His word of promise to fulfillment in the Virgin. It was an angel who brought her the message, but the angel's message was the word of God. See Isaiah 9, verse 6. In that time, He fulfilled all that was written of Him, for she accepted the word that was brought to her. This enabled God to fulfill all that was to happen according to the word. And we will not waste time today. I said to myself, we would rather take as much time now in the future for preaching as we have taken for prayer, and take as much time as we have taken for preaching for prayer, and seek, but really seek the face of God, and then God will let Himself be found. If perhaps we can't get through on our own, and everyone thinks wherever they are, what's going on? There is no access and no answer. A songwriter sings, "What will it do if we all pray together now and come before God?" If we seek the face of God together, as in the upper room, then God will surely answer. It goes on to say, "The members of the Virgin Bride will love Him and be endowed with His abilities." For he is the head. All power belongs to him. They are subject to him, just as the members of our bodies are subject to the head. It is a word addressed to the bride, a word addressed to the church, to you and to me. We are to be endowed with his abilities. We have heard the word of promise and are to receive the Spirit of promise, who brings the word given by God to life in you and in me and makes it a reality. And looking at ourselves, we could say, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful person. I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. And here we can hear the Lord's answer. I know that, and I'm not coming under your roof. I come into your heart, which I have redeemed, so that I can take dwelling and reveal myself in it. You all know that the Lord is great and marvelous, but that he can make himself so small to dwell in your heart and mine. Brother Branham says that this is the greatest mystery that no human being can grasp, that the great God can stoop down and take dwelling in us. Beloved, I think that is enough for tonight. From the depths, I cry out to you, O Lord, hear my cry, and more eagerly than watchmen for the morning, we wait for your help. And then he who abides in me, and whom my words abide, let him ask what he will, and it shall be done. We are to go and bear fruit, and our fruit is to remain, because it is essentially not your fruit and not my fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit that is wrought in you and me, and that is why it is a remaining fruit. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Just like head and limbs, vine and branches, the sap and the life from the vine enter the branches, and the branches bear the fruit. And may God help me and you and all of us, and be gracious to us. May it be said of us in this time, oh, blessed are ye who have believed. And you all know, here we have just read that the message was brought by the angel, or the word was brought by the angel. And we have also emphasized this, right to the angel of the church. And here we have a final message from the last angel to the last church to tell the bride what God has to say to her. Do we want to bypass it? Do we want to look at it with disdain? Or do we want to thank God tonight? And also for all those who are not here or cannot be here today, and simply pray, Lord, give grace that all those you want to address may hear this word that you are addressing to your people. For this is God's speaking at this time. May God bless us all and be with us all by grace. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious and holy word, which we have been able to take into our hearts again this evening. By grace, Lord, you have spoken to us. You have spoken to your servant. You have given your word to us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We worship you in our midst. Hallelujah. Lord, your name be praised and glorified. Your presence is here, O Lord. We thank you and we worship you, Lord, that you speak to us so wonderfully, that you make us ready, that you give us the right words at the right time, Lord. Glory to your wonderful name. Lord, we are your people, the flock of your hand. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. You have blessed us, Lord, and you will continue to bless us. You will prepare us, Lord, for your soon coming, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Lord, we pray for all who are destined to hear your word now. Call them back. Lay your hand upon them and be merciful to all of us. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, O God. Amen.